again. Welcome to the Weekly BJ Podcast, starring DJ BJ, a.k.a. Arabian Knight, a.k.a. the Sultan of Sweat. He's 6'2", 225, coming straight out of Milwaukee. And now he's living the dream in Malibu, answering your fitness questions. That's right, even the stupid ones. Gonna melt your face off.
Gonna melt your face off. Gonna melt your fucking face off. Gonna melt your face off. Gonna melt your fucking face off.
Yo, BJ Gador with the Weekly BJ Podcast. Hopefully this finds you corona-free. Free of the coronavirus. I know it's the talk of the town these days. And I guess if I was going to get it, I would have gotten it at the Lakers game I went to this past Friday at the Staples Center. The Milwaukee Bucks came to town. Reigning MVP Giannis came to town, and the Lakers kind of fucking took it to him. Pretty good weekend if you're a Lakers fan, because the Lake Show was in full effect. LeBron James, I've not seen LeBron James have that kind of man among boys performance in a while. I think that injury last year really messed with his head. It messed with his body, but I think it really messed with his head, because a guy that has relied entirely on insane IQ of the game and then this insane body that can just do anything, he started to not trust it, and it showed. But I think he's beginning to trust it, and again, and man, it was great watching. If you're a Clippers fan, stop listening to my podcast. I don't want you listening. I'm so sick of these fucking Clippers fans. They haven't even fucking made it to a Western Conference Finals yet. And they're fucking putting up billboards about, you know, how great they are. Unbelievable. So I took great pride in seeing the Clippers get their ass kicked on Sunday. What a weekend for Lakers basketball. If you don't care about basketball or the Lakers, the NBA, I don't care. It's my podcast. And while there are at least three, four, or five people listening, I'll talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about. The one thing I've not properly positioned my fitness programs, you know, four, I guess, would be, these are corona-free workouts. I mean, the beauty of training at home is that it's a disease-free experience. You go to a stupid fucking gym, there's sweat everywhere, sloppy-ass motherfuckers everywhere. I mean, one out of two guys I've been in a bathroom with leave the fucking bathroom without washing their hands. What a pathetic fucking creature you are. You're gonna fucking take a shit, you're gonna piss toxins out of your body, touch all these disgusting things, handles, whatever, and then you're gonna fucking leave and take that out to the streets or to the dinner table or whatever. Pathetic. Guys are, most men are absolutely pathetic. I can't even take them. Can't handle them. I don't want them in my life. But that is the unfortunate part about this, is you got a lot of disgusting people spreading disease. And, you know, I'm not an expert on the coronavirus, but I do know that if you work out from home, you will decrease your chance of getting it. So if there's ever time to join my stupid fucking workout plans, now is the time. I can guarantee you that you will not get coronavirus from doing these workouts at home, unless you already have it or somebody else in your family does, and I hope they don't. I hope you stay safe and healthy during this time. Hopefully it doesn't get as bad as people are making it out to be. But worst case scenario, if you have to work from home or you can't do anything else, again, that's part of why I made this training system, is I wanted to fully insulate myself from the outside, meaning that I'm not affected by what happens out there in the streets with being consistent with my training plan. You understand what I'm saying? The autonomy of having a home training system, a lifestyle in place that allows you to do everything from home. We're lucky from a business standpoint, we can do this all from home. You know, hopefully, you know, the few people that we, you know, use to get things done, whether for video or other things, you know, we want them to be healthy and safe too. Obviously, we don't want anybody to get sick. But what I'm saying is, if it's going to happen, you know, thedailybeacher.com hopefully gets you through the corona situation. These are pandemic recession-proof workouts. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully you're enjoying them. We'll touch on the workouts of the week, the past 2 weeks, the Tabata style stuff. I'm also going to touch on the Gorilla Corn Gains programming for March. And I meant to do a podcast last week, just really running out of time. I hope you understand. I am really struggling with time management. I'm trying to do a lot of things now at once, and it's difficult. So I'm having a hard time getting what I want to get done each week and finding the time. I will keep doing my absolute best for this. I hope this benefits you. I hope I'm not wasting just an hour talking. So I'll touch on what we've done and what we're going to be doing here. And you know, one thing that I'm really trying to work on this year. I mentioned I was working on the singing, working on boxing last year, but both really have a breathing component to it. And breathing has been a real problem for me. It's really hard to do these workouts when breathing. It comes into even greater effect for me when I'm doing these follow-along workouts because, you know, I've got to try to coach and instruct when I can while trying to get oxygen to my fucking lungs and muscles. And these workouts have been so fucking intense. They've just pushed me to a whole new level of whatever it is. Just so, been doing a lot of breathing work. I got this, looks like a crack pipe, but it's this thing called Breather Fit that helps you work on the mouth side of the breathing, you know, inhaling, exhaling against resistance. I'll talk more about it once I get more comfortable with it. And, I got this core meditation app my buddy Jason Boone, hooked me up with guided meditation, some good breathing work. I actually really enjoyed it. I worked on it this afternoon. Got super stressed with how much we've got going on and how I'm trying to get more things done myself and trying to learn new things. And God, it's fucking hard to do both simultaneously while fulfilling stuff you're already doing. So I'm stressed out of my mind. I think a lot of you are too. It's that time of year. I think a lot of people need a break right now. You know, mid-March, you've pushed hard through this part of the year. I know I'm feeling it. I've been trying to, you know, for you guys, you know, I do this for you guys. I make like a podcast like this where we're just going to really talk about the workout programming. I do it for the people that are members of my site and my app, thedailybj.com, because besides my close friends and family, man, you're really the people I care about. You know, I think about, I really, truly, I have to at this point think about you to get this stuff done and to try to keep pushing the envelope with the workouts and make them a great experience for you. And I just hope you know that I'm doing the absolute best I can. It takes a lot out of me. And what it really takes, what I notice, is just my my positivity and energy, really. You know, it's difficult to be creative beyond a single thing. So I'm challenged in a lot of ways, too. I think many of you that are involved in the market are challenged now. The market's been taking a hit with a lot of things going on. Obviously, the coronavirus is having that impact as well. So all I can tell you is, I get it. This is a time of year where a lot of accumulated stress starts to show itself, and you got to start to manage your stress better. And breathing helps a lot. Some deep belly breathing really helps kind of center you and get you out of that fight or flight state. So I've tried to remind you of that in the following workouts and even do some breathing before and after just to kind of guide you into it. But as I learn more about breathing, it's a commitment I have to myself and to you to kind of share more about breathing, help you become better at breathing, because breath is everything. You know, when it comes to singing, breath is soul. Singing is all about breath control, and training is really all about breath control. So it's amazing I've gotten this far with training in my life without really knowing how to properly breathe. Hoping I can unlock that component. As soon as I do, I will share what I know with you, and I'll give you tidbits along the way too. But these are some great workouts. I'm going to go right to last week and then this week, you know, some Tabata style stuff here. And, you know, the Tabata workout was popularized, you know, well, first that study in 1994 with that, you know, cycling study, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, max effort for elite cyclists. The intensity you need to hit the level of fitness improvements that occurred where, like, they found greater aerobic and anaerobic improvements and fat loss in this 4-minute, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, 8 times group than 60 minutes of just straight cardio. the intensity has to be through the roof. And most people can't maintain that. So what I try to do is, instead of being, you know, this impossible 10 out of 10 or 11 out of 10 for 4 minutes for most people, you also don't get enough total exercise volume, frankly, because most people don't do anything outside of their workouts. So you got to get enough exercise volume. I think that, you know, 20 to 40 minute block of time is perfect for regular training. But, you know, I like to basically create a Tabata style workout using 20-10s, but, you know, usually it's about 20 to 30 minutes in length with maybe another finisher where I can just do repeated bouts of that 20-10 circuit, mixing between different movements, creating some sort of progressive flow. I've always found that to be the best way to do Tabata training. Now, you can do finishers. You can take any of the stuff we're sharing if you're not doing the programs at the side and you're just kind of picking and choosing what we use or share as finishers or starters for your workouts. And you can do those as 4 minute finishers at that full intensity. But again, you know, training is not about max effort. It's finding a way to get just below it. You know, it's that 8 out of 10, that 7 out of 10, maybe some 9 out of 10, and staying at that level for a long enough period of time with enough frequency that you can bring up your maximum effort without actually having to be maximum effort, if that makes sense. So that's how we take our approach to Tabata training. And this bodyweight workout was really great. It's a mix of, when I made it, it's called that bouncy beatdown. So I listened to 80s old school hip hop on Spotify when listening to this. And every week when I make these workouts and we do them as follow-alongs, I have a custom playlist on Spotify you can find. It's usually not finalized until Wednesday when we do it at 10 a.m. PST. But it's there ongoing for reference, because I start with, you know, the first 10 to 15 minutes of songs, and the last 10 to 15 minutes of songs are post-workout or warm-up cool-down tracks. And then the everything in the middle is, you know, heavy or hard or exactly what I want it to be for the workout that we're doing that day. So I think it's a great resource for you. And I also use it as inspiration in my programming. If you're a trainer listening, you know, I think music is really important to tap into. Music drives movement. And from a program design or creation standpoint, it helps me get inspired to make some fun stuff. And so I just share that with you because I think it helps a lot. And usually when I have trouble making workouts, I'm not tapping enough into music when I'm doing it. So take that as you will. But anyway, these last two workouts have 6 circuits. You do each circuit 20 seconds of work, 10 seconds of rest for 8 rounds. And you take a minute break between circuits, 6 total circuits plus a finisher. And that bouncy beatdown was, it's all body weight. Like, this is a classic, one of my most popular workouts ever, or my most popular workouts. A lot of them are this 20-10 format. People like it. It's 20 seconds is like the maximum amount you can work hard at before you kind of enter the pain zone or before your intensity really starts to dip. And it's fast and it's quick and the rest periods are short. So it's kind of nonstop. I had someone comment this is the fastest 30-minute workout they ever did in terms of like it just flying by. And a lot of this because as we move from circuit to circuit, we're changing things up so that, you know, you're getting a lot of new stimulus. And, you know, I've got some tea with Manuka honey here for my vocal cords. I got to sing after this. So I'll be sipping along the way here. But you have to find ways to make this fun. You know, you could do a single circuit 6 times, but man, that gets mentally tough. And when you're pushing this hard, you've got to find a way to make it fun as possible. It's what I've been trying to challenge myself to do with these weekly kind of DVD level workouts is I want every one of them to be fast, effective, and fun. And the fun part takes a lot out of me to continually make on a weekly basis. It's a lot. So, but it really does help you get through it. So stay with it. Stay with it. Keep working hard. Seeing a lot of great feedback to the workouts and routines. I appreciate that. Keep sharing it. It fuels me and it helps me continue to find the best solutions for you as we keep moving through this year. So I want you to stay corona-free. I want you to keep showing up for these workouts. We'll keep making a change. Keep getting better together and keep pushing ourselves. And let's continue to find a better way to manage our time and get the most out of these workouts. But, you know, one of the things we did a lot of bear positions. I love the bear crawl. The bear crawl is just, I don't know how else to put it beyond the fact that when you spend more time on your hands and arms in a similar fashion that most people spend on their feet and legs, you're going to blow up your upper body. So I find the bear crawl position also to be much more accessible than a lot of other positions. Very safe, high return, low impact. And, you know, one thing we're doing, like every circuit has a different bear crawl progression. There's bear jacks, which is basically like doing, you know, jacking motions with the hands and feet and then simultaneously with both. We have quick crawls where you're doing like basically, it's almost like doing agility drills from a bear position. So you have to explode and then decelerate and change direction, which is going to put a lot of turbulence around your shoulders, your core. We do some bear switches, which is you like basically in a, like as if taking a single step forward with your opposite hand and foot, but then you basically are switching that between hands and feet. So that's a fun one. Again, you got to check out these videos. A lot of these, by the way, I've never seen before. If you're not engaging in these, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sharing my best stuff and not enough people are seeing it. So the ones that are, I appreciate you and I hope you're really enjoying it. Bouncing bear, kind of bouncing in a bear position, leaving the ground almost kind of looking like a flea. Really trying, that bouncy beatdown is all about creating that bounciness. Like what happens when you're over 30 is you start to lose that bounciness. You lose that twitch. You lose that twitch. And when you lose that twitch, you get slow. You get more susceptible to injury. And, you know, it's going to start setting the stage for you becoming less athletic and fatter. And that's a bad mixture. So I love this one. And I was trying to find moves that were as low impact as possible to train that twitch. Man, there's this one leg donkey kick too that's killer. I've shown two-legged donkey kicks before in the past. It's basically you're in a bear crawl position. You shift the weight to your hands, you lift your hips, and you explode to your legs as if doing like a double kick. And but now we're doing it on one. So the amount of control and power and stability you have is really challenging. But again, I put that towards circuit six. So if you can't make it all the way to circuit six or five or whatever, it gets harder as it goes in some ways. But just focus on what you can do. And you know, you have to understand too, we have so many different people doing this stuff. Beginners, advanced, everyone in between. So I try to do the best I can to meet you where you're at and stimulate those bodies and keep you moving in the right direction. So a lot of good bear positions and then a lot of good kind of split stance athletic positions. When I talk athletic position, I'm talking about, you know, triple bends, ankle, knee, hip. Like not necessarily deep squatting or like super low stuff, but getting you in that position of reactivity where you can change direction, you can jump, you can run, you can sprint, you can shuffle. You can turn, you can backpedal, you know, getting you comfortable and bouncing in that position is going to translate into athleticism if you are pursuing athletic endeavors, but really it's going to help fire up your metabolism and keep you bouncy. This was one of my favorite workouts because, again, I think the bounce is something that we don't train enough, and then when we do, we overdo it with impact forces and lack of progression. So the other way to get bouncy is to do boxing drills. We do a lot of different 1-2 combinations. By the way, those have asked, you know, what's a 1? A 1 is a jab. A 2 is a right cross or an overhand right. Or it's also, if you're in a southpaw stance where you're, you know, your left hand is your trail hand, the 2 is that punch too. So basically, the 2 is always your trail straight. So we do a lot of 1-2s. We start with just 1s, then we do 2 jabs, then we do straights or crosses, then we do double jabs, we do jab straights, jab, jab, straight, jab, straight, jab. So there's this great boxing progression. And, you know, when I learned to box in 2019, and I now, after a year of doing it, I finally feel competent enough to really share it with you and teach it. And again, I'm still no pro at boxing, but I know how to teach it now from, you know, what pros recommend to do in terms of, you know, optimal form and technique, but also applying it to the way you train the human body and things that I wasn't even really exposed to, but, you know, pivoting feet, rotating hips, that we're really working on that a lot too. And again, I know many of you don't like the boxing. As many of you that don't like it, there are even more that really do. So again, you got to like get over it. You really do, because this is great stuff. Even when you're not doing the boxing right, this is part of why you train at home. Who cares what anyone thinks? But even when you're not doing it properly to the best of your ability or you're new to it, you're burning calories and you're getting fitness benefits and it's not going to negatively hurt your body. So you're always winning when you do it. And, you know, these are home workouts. I want them to travel well as well. And boxing, you can do in any space without equipment. So, You need to get on board with this. This is a better version of a treadmill. It's the better version of a fucking stupid Peloton spin bike. So trust me on this. And then we have a really killer 2010 drop Bulgarian split squat finisher. It's like a drop squat, but from a Bulgarian split squat position. And we play around with these 2010s where you do reps for 20 and then you hold a position for 10 during the rest. And that just intensifies. You know, I'm always finding ways to make light feel heavy. And these pause 10-second periods during the rest can be cool with that. And we even use that again in this week's WOW, which is a lot of fun. Check this one out. It's on youtube.com/BJGajuri. You can follow along to it. If you don't want to do the follow along, just watch it and see it in action. And obviously, you want to get to the dailybj.com and you want to sign up to get these workouts. They're world class. I mean, every week, man, I'm giving you everything I have. And my wife's telling me you're spending too much time on it. You're getting too stressed about it. And she's probably right. I probably need to just kind of commit to just like setting the clock and not going past a certain time period. But you're important to me. And I'm trying to just fucking invigorate what we're doing and separate ourselves from other people out there and the way we train and how we approach, you know, what we do. So hope you're feeling it. Hope you're enjoying it. That one was a lot of fun and a lot of challenge on that one. But you know, it's a really good one. Sorry, I'm a little bit low on energy today. I'm doing my best. Really like the crawls. And many have said too, like the sand dune stepper, anyone who gets it really enjoys it. $250, but man, some of the bear crawl stuff, where you put your hands on it, just easier on the wrist and shoulder, and I think you'll find some more stability benefits. You can always do the stuff we do on the floor, but it was really a pure bodyweight workout. That bouncy beatdown with 80s hip-hop tracks that went with it. The old-school stuff. Never stay too far from the source. This week's workout, what I wanted to do... So again, I train on feel, and we're doing the same workouts together. So me training on feel and you doing the same workouts I do means you're training on feel. Trust me on this. I felt the need to go to some dumbbell work this week. And I still wanted to stay with this Tabata. I want to really dig and explore the Tabata format this week. And the single dumbbell drills we have going are just like tremendous. I have this one drill I've never seen shared before, the bear snatch. And there's this kind of progression, circuit one. Again, our circuit ones are always kind of a built-in warm-up. We start in this bear position while holding a dumbbell in one hand, and you do some rowing, some side rowing, and then some snatching where you pull the weight overhead from a bear crawl position, then you add some rotation to it. Again, the videos help tremendously with this. My purpose in talking about it is, as I'm teaching and demonstrating, I can't kind of get into as many nooks and crannies, so I hope the podcast kind of rounds it out. I will have a supplements podcast coming soon. I've got to get it out because we're launching a CBD product called Man Baby CBD, Train Like a Man, Sleep Like a Baby. And many of you have asked on supplements and stuff like that, so I'm going to try to get that out this week if I can. But this bear position, and again, it's just going to, even though one arm is doing some pulling, the other side is actively pushing and protracting the level of the scapula. So you're completely blowing up the shoulders in a good way, stabilizing, activating the core, and even your legs are involved in positions we're going to be using later in the workout. So really fun first circuit with bears, supersetting left and right sides, or right, left, however you're setting it up. Then we go to some pivots. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Part of being a good coach is being a broken record with things. And the key to athletic performance is pivoting feet, rotating hips. And we actually do that with this drill while holding a dumbbell at shoulder level and squeezing the shit out of it to activate the core, the chest, the arms, the shoulders, locking the trunk and spinal positioning. And that one was a lot of fun, going between a minute loaded, a minute body weight at a high level. And then the second 2 minutes of that 4 minute circuit, we're doing 20-10s of low level loaded to body weight. Anytime we load and then we unload, we're trying to take advantage of a contrast effect where now your body will go faster than it would otherwise because of the excitation of your nervous system by holding a weight. And the weight does not have to be heavy. It just has to be heavier. So I was using a 25-pound dumbbell for all the light stuff. I use a 25-pound dumbbell for circuits 1 and 2 in the bears and the pivots. And I used a 50 in circuits 3, 4, and 5 when we go from a hang clean supersetting to overhead pressing supersetting to clean and pressing supersetting, combining them in circuit 5, and then we finish with just pure boxing hooks in circuit 6, and I'll talk about the finisher to come as well. But I gave you some rep parameters to work with in circuits 3, 4, and 5, And a hang clean means you're going to be pulling from around the knee position. It could be at the knee, it could be below the knee, it could be above the knee based on how it feels for you. But we're just not going to the floor. We're in that triple man athletic position, shortstop, linebacker, tennis, whatever that is. Again, it's that reactive position where your body is most explosive. And we're spending time working on that, and we're doing one arm cleans. And what we're doing on the cleans, we're going to change in terms of which hand is holding. So, and you're in a staggered position the whole way too. So one leg is going to be more forward than the other. And contralateral means the opposite hand is holding to the lead leg. Ipsilateral means same side hand as lead leg. And during the 10-second rest, you actually are going to hold and rest in the clean position. So you never set the weight down. You're going to exchange arms every minute to keep you going nonstop and keep the intensity high. But during the 10 seconds of rest, you're holding the hang clean position in circuit three from the pull, and you're holding a single arm overhead press at the top in circuit four during the 10-second rest. And then we go to just a 20 seconds on, pure 10 seconds off in circuit five, combining cleans and presses. But I really struggle. I made it all the way through circuit three with a 50 on the hang clean sequence. On the overhead press sequence, I couldn't make it. I had to take a break during the second 10-second rest. So you do 20 on, 10-second hold, 20 reps, 10-second hold. I had to take a break during several of the 10-second rest periods there. But I really wanted to challenge myself with the 50 today, or when I did it yesterday. And you'll see it live in the follow-along. And it's going to look fine technically, but it's not going to look pretty in terms of me exerting myself to the maximum. So, you know, I have the liberty to do that. I just recommend going light enough so you can stick with the routine and actually hold all the 10-second rests. But what I recommended with these is I want to get 6 to 10 reps every 20 seconds of work for circuits 3 and 4 with the hang cleans and the overhead presses. If you're getting less than 6, it means it's too heavy. If you're getting more than 10, it's too light. Now, if you have no choice but to use whatever weight you're using, you do the best you can with it. But again, the rep parameters are just there to help you figure out the best loads to get the most out of the workout from what I intend it to be. But you make it work and you just get it done. When in doubt, you're moving and doing the movement patterns and doing the best you can, you're still getting ahead. When we do the clean and press, and since we're combining movements, that's a 3 to 5 repetition goal in 20 seconds. And in the past, I've said with Tabata training, to make it like truly what it is, cardiometabolic, anaerobic, you want to get about 10 repetitions of most movements every 20 seconds. But if you're doing a combination movement, you know, it's going to be half that. So don't panic about rep goals. This is just like a really fast twitch, powerful workout. That's going to build up because a lot of the one-sided stuff, it's going to be less stress on your spine, but harder on your abs and your core. And man, this one was a grinder. I told my wife, like, this is a total, like, you're in this workout. You got to really find your breathing. You got to find your center. And the shoulders on this, many of you commented, man, the shoulder work is off the charts. Off the chart shoulder work. We're going to blow up the arms, the shoulders this month, the next few months, not only for the Wife Lover tank top, which if you're listening to this today, you've got less than 24 hours to get the best tank top in the game or your money back at the lowest introductory price. That's sleevesoldseparately.com. So if you're listening to it today, go over there and get the tank top. I'm telling you, it's the best fucking tank top I've ever had on. It's the tank I've been looking for my whole life. And if you don't like it, you can send it back. We'll give you your money back when it's fulfilled. So we do that heavy clean and pressing. There's some really cool we're not only doing like changing the arm or the one arm, but we're doing some lateral clean and pressing, some rotational clean and pressing with a double rotation. You got to check the videos for that. Really beautiful, explosive movement that builds. And again, everything builds. Many of you are tapping into new things you never thought you could do because of the flow of these workouts. And when you're learning a skill at a time, it's much more feasible than multiple skills at once, which makes you feel like you're not athletic and you can't do things. And I know many of you comment on the rotational stuff or the boxing stuff. It makes you feel unathletic, but, you know, what do you want? The only way you can become athletic is to be unathletic and try new things initially, and then you get more athletic at it. So, and I have to remind myself, too, with, you know, anytime you're learning something new, you're not really good at something. And I've had such a perspective now as I'm trying to learn how to sing. And comparatively to working out and fitness and this lifestyle, I'm so bad at singing compared to it. So I'm reminded, too, of like how discouraged I can get when I have a bad day of singing or you know, how unmotivated I can be to do something that I'm not as good at something else, or how much extra work it takes. And I just try to remember that for you, and how much, you know, I do really respect you. Like, if you're doing these workouts, I respect you, man, because they have been so challenging, to the point where I'm like, God, why am I doing this? I know why, because of how I feel afterwards. And because I just want to eat. I want to eat good food, and I want to really enjoy some stuff on the weekends. I want to look a certain way, especially if, you know, we have a great fashion line that's growing beyond our wildest dreams, and I thank you for the support in that. And I have to look a certain way to sell these clothes. And you motivate me more than ever now, because I'm getting, you know, real-time feedback of the best workouts I've ever made. But man, they're pushing me and you to a whole new level. So we just have to stay consistent with it and, you know, be okay with that. And, but I understand, like, I know how tough it is to be exposed like this. And I go back and forth, like, when I've done the dailybj.com, I go back and forth to, I just keep it simple and, you know, videos 5 minutes or less. And then, but it's so boring then to someone like me, who's been doing this for a long time and is just beyond just a simple circuit, right? There's more homework, I know. And it's a 20-minute video. And understand too, on the creative process in this, it's not easy to make these like this every week. And I need enough time between doing them to get the motivation and the inspiration. And some Sundays when I make this, it takes me a little bit longer, or we have bad Wi-Fi and the uploading takes longer and you get it more at the end of the day. But it'll be worth the wait, and I get them up as soon as I can. So, and again, a lot of people they stay back a week so they can always have a week ahead. And many of you on the East Coast, you're just going to get fucked on some of those days. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's just, it takes time to get this stuff loaded and put together. It's just my wife and I doing it, and it wouldn't even help if we had somebody else doing it, because it's in real time. So stay with it. The finisher, we do the boxing hooks. There's like this hook sequence, and the hooks really are, if you want to learn about pivoting feet, rotating hips, people throw hooks with their arms, and really it's about popping the hips. So we teach you that, and then we have a really killer finisher, another Death by Bulgarian split squat finisher. You're not going to be holding positions during the 10-second rest, but we're just changing holding position. And I'm going to go on feel, or I'll have a special tweak on this for the live workout. What I want to do with the follow-alongs, because again, I can't make these workouts much longer than 20 minutes instructional on the dailybj.com. So what I'm trying to do is get you, you know, the main way to do it with a lot of variation, and then some extra tweaks that wrinkles that I develop as I do it myself Monday, and as I think between doing it live with you on Wednesday. So that's the added value to that follow along as well. I'm trying to really deliver to the people that are immersed in this and have been doing this for a long time. It's really hard to work with beginners at a distance. You know, like if you're 50 plus pounds overweight and you're not very athletic, I mean, God, I want to help you, but I don't think I can. I don't think I effectively can. And still keep, you know, people that are in shape and have been doing this for a while satisfied. It's just, man, I have struggled my whole career with finding the balance. And thing about beginners too, man, they're just not, they don't prioritize it. They're not willing to invest. They don't want to get equipment that's going to help them. They're certainly not interested in buying premium clothing that you can wear during your workouts or outside of the gym, like we have at Sleepsold separately. So, it's tough, man. We have a beginner boot camp, by the way, the Daily BJ you could do. And many of you that aren't able to keep up with the extra homework that comes with better workouts, more variety. You always want variety, and then you give me more variety, and some people complain about that. You can just do hundreds of the more simplified, you know, 5 minutes or less, single circuit style videos that we have at thedailybj.com. You can also do the beginner boot camp. But I know people always focus on what they can't do instead of what they can, and it is what it is. But this one is great. It's really hard. I know, like, it's Tuesday evening at the time of recording this, and I know I'm up for another fucking fight for my life. Our video guy, Chris Warren, who's been recording these workouts for us and doing an excellent job on, you know, trying to give that high-end production feel at YouTube, big widescreen. You can Chromecast it. You can smart TV it. And they're looking better, you know, on a regular basis. you know, I try to, he was trying to talk to me before the workout we were doing, I think either a week ago. And I'm like, I'm honestly, like, when I walk into these, man, like, I'm going to fight for my life. I know. I mean, they're super fucking challenging. I'm not trying to over dramatize it either. I don't think people get it. This is like, for me, it's a big game every week. It's a show, that I have to put on every single week. And, there's so much that goes into making it look easy. If it looks easy, it's because of all the work that goes into it and how long I've done this. But I just don't know how to put it to you. Anybody that's done live follow-along workouts or DVDs or whatever else like that, you can ask Jeremy Scott when he did it for Menestret Extreme. Like, these are typically the worst days of my life or the worst moments of my life. I am in pure survival mode. I'm trying to get better at being more relaxed. You know, what I talk about, finding the light in the heavy, the eye in the metabolic storm. But, you know, I'm like getting hyped up and ready for a big fucking game. So I can't do the small talk and I get really intense, and it's not, you know, people I think assume that I'm a certain way because of how I am in video. Video is performance. I'm trying to step up and, you know, give energy, and that is me. It's not faking it, but, at the same time, before and after that, I'm either getting ready to go there, or and when I'm done, I'm exhausted. I don't even have the ability to conversate, which is a word I would say after a workout when there's no oxygen. That's part of why getting some good breathing after the workout. I like to go for a walk with my dogs and wife right after and kind of set my breathing. And one thing I've been doing, because I have really small nasal passages and I've really struggled breathing through my nose, but now as I have to sing, and then I have to talk and do these workouts regularly, I've been needing to get more air in through my nose. So I walk with my mouth closed and I breathe in and out exclusively through my nose, and it's been helping me a ton. So that's one quick thing just on your short walks, unless you're having conversation, close your mouth and breathe through your nose, and try to do it without elevating your chest, keeping your ribs and shoulders down, abs engaged, just slightly, slight little tone in the muscles, like a 2 or 3 out of 10 in terms of flex. And breathing and keep that belly breaths going. Because again, that's going to help. The more you get that to be kind of autopilot, you'll carry that through longer during your workouts. Eventually, when you're redlining, you got to come into the chest a bit. But as long as you can stay in the belly, and if you can stay in the belly for longer, it's just going to keep your positioning better. And it's going to allow you to go longer before burning out or conking out. But it's going to happen at some point if you're pushing hard. So just know that comes with it. But yeah, so these are challenging, man. I don't know how else to put it. An interesting thing about it is, you know, when I don't have this in place, I'll still do workouts. But, you know, it's true. I won't push myself as hard. You know, I find myself on the weekends now, because when I film these every Sunday, I program, film, upload everything on Sundays. And so on Saturday night, when I would typically like crush it, I'm making better choices because I know I don't want to feel like a fat fuck when I'm making. I don't, like, you wake up and, like, you know, you just, your face is a little bit swollen and your body, you know, just, you feel heavy and lethargic. I just can't feel like that and make these workouts. So it's that fine line of knowing yourself, and even the most committed. I would consider myself one of the more committed when it comes to exercising. I've not missed a week of training since I was 14 years old, but I have to get up for these as if it's like a big game with my life on the line. And it does tighten you up. I think I maybe got a little bit soft last year. In 2019, kind of celebrating, you know, kind of life goals my wife and I finally achieved, and just finally having some perspective and maybe taking my foot off the gas pedal a little bit and enjoying myself. And we needed to, but at the same time, you know, like I realize now, you know, 37, I have to remain sharp, and I got to keep pushing myself to get better too. So I guess I'm just, it's a stream of consciousness, but I'm just telling you, like, this is really tough stuff, and I don't know how else to tell you to stick with it. Otherwise, then you're going to come out of it stronger. In the moment you're in it, and the moment before it, around it, you question it, your motivation ebbs and flows. But I just can tell you, I mean, my body has, since I've started doing these follow-alongs, it's changed significantly. My conditioning is way better. So stay with it. So those are the workouts of the week. Quickly on Gorilla Corn Gains. And by the way, so what I do, those that are, the training split we have at thedailybj.com, it's 3 whole body workouts a week. It's the workout of the week. You get every Sunday. that you do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Those doing the four sessions a week, more advanced, they want more gain stimulus. Their workout of the week on Monday, Wednesday, and then upper body Friday, lower body Saturday, and it's a set upper body routine and lower body routine each month, and you get a new one every month. That's how we kind of work this. And the upper body routine, some kind of highlights, stuff I can fill in terms of what we didn't cover in the actual videos themselves. Let me pull it up. So we've been doing this shoulder stack, and you only use 2.5. Most would be good with 2.5 to 5 pound plates. I use 10s. I would not go any higher than 10s in doing these. I think many of you are still struggling to get it. Like, there are certain things that we're not really looking to increase the load with. We're trying to just continually increase mind-muscle connection, technique, and positioning. You can't make everything you do in a workout about load. That shoulder stack is really designed to strengthen and fix muscle size and strength imbalances in the lateral and rear delts. Get that shoulder properly positioned for the pressing and pulling to come. That is more intense and more load focused. And you mix between basically a bent over reverse fly position, a lateral raise. The bent over reverse fly gets more rear delt. The lateral raise, bringing the weights out to the side, gets more side delt. And then we do these pull aparts from a hinge with a ladder progression. You do one upright, then you hit. And so it's basically just, I'm using 10-pound plates and a red mini band, and God, the shoulder pump is incredible. And what I've been trying to do more in upper body workouts is get you in good lower body positions that, you know, so you can, it's almost like we're engaging our legs, our hips and our legs, you know, an extra day of the week, and we're doing it from more of a stability and balance standpoint so that we don't have to do it as much on our actual lower body workout, but also so we can just keep filling in gaps. And hormonally, there certainly are benefits on your upper body day to getting your legs involved, because it will just give you a better hormonal response. Anecdotally, or from research, we don't really know how much extra gains you can get from it. But the way I look at it is, the more of your body you're using every minute you train, the better your results are going to be to anyone else. We have the strength stack, and we're playing around with these segmented reps. And what that means is, you know, on the way down, up, we're treating the down and the up as five unique segments. So two of the stops, you're starting at the bottom or the top based on the movement, and you are taking, you know, five unique stops on the way down. It's even harder coming back up. You're stronger eccentrically, or as muscles lengthen, versus concentrically when they shorten. So that's why you can just, like, you can jump up to a bar and lower yourself on a push-up if you can't do a push-up. If you can't actually pull yourself up, same thing on a push-up. You can lower yourself for 5 seconds, come to the knees, cheat back up on the knees, and then do it with your legs straight and keep doing it in that manner. So if you can't do the concentric portion, just do the eccentric. Doing both is super tough. And one rep is doing the five stops on the way down and up. So you do 4 to 6 reps of hammer grip segmented pull-ups and then this really cool bear crawl position push-up. Joel Seedman really turned me on to this bear crawl push-up idea. Really enjoying it. I've seen the gains in my chest big time from these bear crawl positions we've been using, not only in the workouts of the week, but also in our gain style workouts on the weekends. And by the way, again, it's just the perfect pairing. I'm dialed into my nutrition during the week. I have my smoothies and shakes midday, and I'll talk on that when we do supplements. I'll even do a smoothies podcast if I can just fucking find the time and motivation to do it at some point, because it'll be good. I'm making some crazy good shakes lately that are, you know, blending up and ready to go. And then I have a nice protein and produce meal at night, and I allot myself about 300 to 500 calories of some dessert. Like, been fucking around with this like chantilly sweet cream vanilla bean sheet cake. Go look. I sing about it. I'm doing these food songs because I love food. You know, I'm so fucking fat because I sing about food. I make fucking R&B songs about my favorite food and my story. So you can see some of the treats I'm going in. But, you know, I kind of eyeball it, and I give myself 300 to 500 calories a night. If I was really trying to tighten up, I could get rid of that. But it's working for me. And then, you know, Thursday, Friday, and a little on Saturday, I allot myself some flexibility. And that's also when my hardest, more muscle damaging workouts are coming. So I'm simulating the gains. And that's the one thing I have to tell you. It's the fine line. And You know, I've talked about this, a lot of people that build muscle, I always know when someone tells me they don't have an appetite or they don't really enjoy food or don't eat a lot, they'll never grow serious muscle. You have to stretch to grow. And it also comes with stretching your ability to get food in your body, in my opinion. You're stretching your cells. I don't have any research to prove this, but all the people I know that have like really true, like exceptional size without taking drugs, you know, they know how to fucking eat big strategically. I think it's an X factor. I really do. Like the times of the year or times where I don't feel like I'm looking as big or jacked as I would like. I'm not pushing the envelope enough in the actual workouts, and I'm not saying binge eating it. What I'm saying is like some meals that stretch you a little bit, if that makes sense, without overdoing it. That's the science. That's the trial and error and the fine tuning that takes years. Once you lock it in though, man, it's fucking great. You won't even believe what you see in the mirror. But we got some barbell work in rounds 3 and 4 for the arm, shoulders, and back. This sequence, basically, we're doing a single arm barbell bicep curl to overhead press to bent over row. The bent over row in particular, this particular single arm barbell bent over row, it's my favorite row. The barbell, what does the barbell do? And one thing I can tell you, like, if you want to get strong or challenge yourself, do things with a barbell you do with a dumbbell, right? So when I do a dumbbell bicep curl, super effective. And by the way, you can modify this with a dumbbell. I don't necessarily, I'm not like, I hesitate for you guys to get new equipment again or keep buying things if your budget is tight, because you know things change monthly. We're going to do what's best that month based on what we're doing the previous months or where I want to take it. So at the same time, I don't want to have you continually get new equipment, but we're going to be using a barbell enough in the gains workouts. We won't really use them at all in our wows. So if you don't want to do the weekend stuff, you'll probably never need a barbell unless you're doing like our old landmine workouts in the archives. That single barbell into a corner of a wall or landmine post. But 45-pound barbell on this was super challenging, especially on the bicep. So use a weight that you can do for the first movement, the bicep curl. That's the weakest movement. And I've kind of some rep goals with this. It's a set of rep parameters. But again, we do these three-minute blocks with Gorilla Core and Gains where we do it's not always like three moves or a minute per move or whatever else. Like in this case, it's 45 seconds on, 15 seconds off, 45 on, 15 off, and then you do a full minute in the third and final one with the third movement. And I give you some rep parameters to work off of. So you're trying to do about 6 to 8 and 6 to 8 and 12 to 15 reps respectively for this three movement stack, one side at a time. And you're going to get crazy core work on this. And because of the length of the barbell, and again, if you can't do I used a 45-pound bar last week, the first time doing this. So, it challenged me. And again, I'm using good technique. And I can't imagine someone using a heavier thing off the bat. Because if that's the case, you should be giving me the workouts. So use an easy curl bar, which I think is anywhere from 15 to 20 pounds, or it can be one of those shorter straight bars. If you have to choose between getting a shorter straight bar or an easy curl, get an easy curl because we will use it at some point, as we have already this year, for curls or other things. So, but just use a dumbbell. Again, it's super this routine is super effective with a dumbbell. The barbell and the length of it is going to challenge, it's going to oscillate and challenge your stabilizers more. And you're going to get a lot more work into the shoulder because it has to be so active. And then your core has to be so active because of the instability. And again, that makes it so I can maximally stimulate my muscles, all of them, deeply, without a lot of load. So the recovery is quicker, but the pumps are still precious. And then there's this insane tricep stack to finish. We do some dumbbell tall kneeling over at tricep extensions in about a 6 to 8 rep range with a really slow lowering or eccentric. That tall kneel always smokes the core. Then we do some band cable overhead tricep extension. We're doing overhead positioning this month to get the long head, that really meaty portion of the tricep that really adds some size and good girth to the arm because it attaches into the scapula and you work it more when your arm's overhead. And then we're finishing off with some body weight bear crawl plank to push-ups to just smoke the triceps and shoulders. Many of you said that it took you to a whole new place. But again, the cool thing about that too is if you have to rest, you just come to the knees. I like the positions you fail in to be safe and accessible and to have no real risk. And one thing we do, by the way, stick with the progression in this program. So each round is 3 minutes. There's 5 total rounds. and both the upper and lower workouts. There's a minute between rounds. You can take you can take up to 2 minutes if you need to in some transition times if you're doing this at a gym. And I recommend you going from rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 for the best results, because you get like full recovery by the time you repeat a previous round. But if you need to do kind of a divide and conquer, you'll do round 1, rest 2 to 3 minutes, then move on to round 2. Rest 2 to 3 minutes, repeat round 1 again if you need to, then go to your next round or station. So you're just going to have to take at least 2 minutes between rounds. But again, I like doing it sequentially as outlined. But a cycle is 5 rounds, which takes 20 minutes. And week 1 and 2, I want you to learn it, perform one cycle and figure out your loads. Week 2, I want you to own it. So do one cycle again, but try to beat your performance from the previous week or really have yourself dialed in. And then in week 3, we push it by performing 2 cycles while maintaining your loads at the very least. And then week 4, we kill it. 2 cycles trying to beat your performance and finish it off. And the volume flow in this is key. It's going to allow us to never have to take breaks during the year. A lot of you, especially my Gorilla Corn Gains members from 2019, I know for a fact you're doing 2 cycles because you didn't learn everything last year, did you? Because I'm only doing one when I'm doing these, by the way. And if you want to do some more, like I'll do like 20 minutes of boxing. I'll do like 5 rounds of 5 3-minute rounds with a minute break in between, just boxing to get some cardio in. But when I'm doing the 2 cycle weeks, I'm not going to do any boxing most likely after, because I'm going to be toast. You can only do this stuff with intensity for 40 minutes. And if you're doing more than that on a regular basis, you're going to conk out. Then it's going to affect your workouts during the week. It's going to slow down your gains. So you got to just trust me on the weekly progression here. We've got 10 minutes left in this episode. But that's the upper body workout, some really unique movements. I know in the first 2 months of this year, I've seen significant improvements in the size and strength and stability of my upper body. So I really made a focus this year on the upper body work, because I need to bring it up a bit, because it looks less impressive now because of how far the leg development has come. It's constant. God, your body and your performance and your health, it's a constant fine-tuning and work in progress, which is why, you know, there really is no destination. It is a journey. It's not just a stupid fucking cliche thing. Like, it's a nonstop thing where you're constantly tweaking and figuring things out. So the lower body gains workout, we're really trying to work on your feet this year. You can do this on the sand dune stepper or the floor, but it's this series of ankle rocks where you plantar flex and dorsiflex the ankle. Come onto the toes, come onto the heel. And the cool thing about the sand dune stepper is it just gives you a level of shifting that makes it somewhat more accessible, but also like lets you get the unique angles and tilts that can happen to the level of the foot that's really unique. But you just basically spend 3 minutes in 3 unique positions doing these ankle rocks, ideally with a mini band position above the knees to get the hips going and just set your positioning. You do kind of a hinge position, like a donkey calf raise in a way, a straight-legged position, which gets more upper calf, bent knee, gets more low quad and low calf, soleus. And this is just like, sends all the blood you need to your joints in a really low impact way, and it just really gets your feet going. And again, I want you to create talons for your feet. What I do, a lot of times what I'll do is, this whole workout, by the way, I did barefoot, and I recommend if you can. And what I do in the workouts of the week, because there is a lot of high intensity, fast paced stuff, I do the warm ups barefoot and get the feet active and going. And then I put them in the shoe for a little extra stability. Again, I love the Samba. The Adidas Samba is like my go-to training shoe. Also, killer style, killer swag on that. But as long as you move right into activity, the feet will remain as active as they were when they were barefoot. It gives that little extra stability. So if you lose position, especially as you fatigue and you go higher impact, high speed, that's my preference on how I do it. But on these gains workouts, because it's more about focus and slower tempo and speed, I go almost the whole thing. I did the whole thing body weight, and I recommend it. And really dial in your feet. So we start with that. Then we have this really cool movement. I've been talking about making movements two-way. So not just lifting, but being active on the lowering, for example. So in a split squat, I can use my ankles, my hip flexors, and my hamstrings to pull me down. Now, it's one thing for me to tell you that, but what we do is you position a band and you anchor it vertically and you hold it and kind of pull it down into your ribs, like an active pull-down hold with your abs crunched. And what you're going to then do is, because it's giving you a lot of assistance, you have to actively pull yourself down to the bottom of the split squat. On the way up, there's really no resistance because the band kind of pulls you back up. But by focusing on the down, it's going to allow you to get a better mind-muscle connection when we come into rounds 3 and 4, which I have this insane... we're doing, as we did segmented pull-ups and bear crawl push-ups, we're doing that for split squats with a one-arm barbell. So, but you'll really enjoy this. Again, part of what people won't realize too, again, this is how you, as you get older, you're over 30, over 40, this is how you continue to make gains. You become smarter with your training and you find a way to get more of your muscles involved than they ever were before with lighter loads. So by using more muscles on the split squat, you're going to make more gains with the same weight or less. So don't look at these rounds as, oh, they're wasted rounds. No, these are the rounds I really need your focus, because if I can have you dial into them, by the time you get to the real like strength size rounds, in this case, rounds 4 and 5 of the lower body workout, that's when you're really going to work on this. It's designed to set you up for success in rounds 4 and 5, the championship rounds, the gains rounds. But don't make no mistake, the previous rounds are just as, if not more important. There's flow to everything I do in the workouts we're doing. But what we do here is you hold a barbell, and we're going to hold the barbell ipsilaterally, meaning on the same side hand as the lead leg in your split squat. And that is just going to help activate more low quad teardrop. We're launching these Lungeman long shorts, which is from 4 to 6 inches inseam, which covers up your mid quad and mid thigh, and that the peak of the thigh, like the sexiest part of your thigh, frankly, but it does still show the next sexiest part, which is that teardrop, that lower inner quad. So I'm trying to blow that up in the next few months. And beyond that, it's the most important muscle, in my opinion, for knee stability and health. People talk about the glutes. Glutes are important, but that VMO is everything. And it's always lagged in me because of my past injuries in my athletic career when I was younger. So we're blowing those up. It's going to take about 60 to 90 seconds to do those segmented reps, 5 stops down and up. And what I want you to do is, again, because remember what we're trying to focus on, that lower quad. So as I'm doing it, again, we're doing the 5 stops down. I'm pulling myself down with my shin muscles, my hip flexors, my hamstrings each step. And then as I'm lifting up, I'm using my glute and particularly my low quad VMO, my teardrop, to lift me up 5 steps at a time to fully extend. And I just used a barbell. I could have gone heavier, but again, what I'm trying to do is make sure that the muscles I'm trying to target are doing the work. I know if I push it too heavy too soon, then my body will just find a way to compensate and execute the movement, but I'll lose the muscle connection. So that's where it's just the ego. You got to just get over it. And I'm finally there, and I hope you can get there with me, because it's fun. You're not going to hurt as much, and you're actually going to feel the muscles you're trying to work. Like, honest to God, I could get crazy results all year just doing a single cycle, 20 minutes of these gains workouts, because I'm now maximally activating the muscles. They're all working now. So, and I'm exhausting them fully because of how we're stacking and getting time under tension and flowing things. So I don't necessarily need that second round. And if I'm being completely honest, because I'm trying to get my upper body up to par, last month, I didn't do 2 cycles. I think I did 1 2-cycle of the leg day. I only did 1 cycle on one of them just because I think that's one thing that happens as you get older, or if, you know, your recovery isn't what it used to be. It's easier to build a certain area of your body a month at a time than it is to do the whole body. So I did maybe to 20 minutes of boxing after 20 minutes cycle on the legs, but I'm definitely doing the 2 cycles on weeks 3 and 4 for the upper body, because that's more of a focus for me this year. And again, I'm throwing a lot of information at you today, but this is just what I'm thinking about. We're in this together. And this is how you can start to customize this for yourself. But get your legs to the point where they're so big and strong that, you know, whoa, my upper body needs, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's taken me a while to get to that point. It took a while, 5+ years, frankly. So, but I'm going to just share, because some of you see me box and you're wondering, is he doing the program? No, I am. I just, I enjoy boxing. I really do. I enjoy it more than training, like strength training, really. And I also develop drills from that for the workouts of the week with shadow boxing that you can do, or with bands or egg weights, those little light 1 or 2 pound things you can have in your hand for some speed, strength, resistance. And then we have this little staggered stance, teardropper, tapper, like a metabolic plyo movement that finishes off after you do your segmented split squats. That is just a nice little finisher that you'll enjoy. really nice workout. We're really challenging our legs, and we had the previous month, and we're doing it this month during the workouts of the week. So I really wanted the lower body workout this month to be therapeutic and specific, but not too systemically draining, because I need you to be ready for these fucking workouts of the week. You have to trust me. Many people will think, oh, the Gorilla Corn Gains workouts are harder. No, they're just different. They're local. They require more attention to a certain area of your body at a time. They do require, in some ways, more strength. But I'd rather do those, frankly, than the Metcons during the week, because they take me to that dark place, and I have to find a way to keep making that dark place that happy place, and that's the journey we're on together. Apologize if my energy was a little bit low today. I shit you not, like I started and stopped this about 10 times before I got you this 1 hour take, because I'm just struggling to keep consistent with all the stuff we've got going. I want to keep this podcast going. I want to keep it strong. Stay tuned for a supplements podcast coming soon. Hopefully this week, Thursday, I have it scheduled. If we can fucking finally do it. It's been scheduled for the last month, and my wife and I are just, we're struggling to, to get it in. But, I don't mean to complain. I'm just letting you guys know we're doing the best we can, and, I'm going to keep giving you everything I have, especially on the workouts of the week and in my program at thedailybj.com. Love you. Peace.